Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Saved this little vort on Hanukkah because it ties in with Lech Lecha, with Avraham. So being that it is Hanukkah, I thought I would share it with you, and then we will proceed, as we usually do, back into the text. It says in Ma'osur that we sing, Upartzu Chaimos Migdalai, that they pierced our walls. You know. So the Chedisharim says on this, that by us, by the Jewish people, the word of Hashem is like a wall. It's like a wall. In other words, it becomes, if Hashem says, don't steal, you know the story of the Kutzker Rebbe, don't steal? It says in the commandments, don't steal, right? So by us, it says don't steal, that means it's impossible to steal. What happened to Kutzker Rebbe is that, you know, he took in so many chassidim, and everybody comes from brachas, the doors were like wide open, and the Rebbeson was going out of her mind, you know, like so many people constantly. And it came Shabbos, and the licht, the candelabras were missing. So she said, it's no wonder, you know, all these people coming in, and this, you know, some people not such high-class people coming in, they were stolen. Ours were stolen. So the Rebbe heard it from the back of his room. And he said, what's this? How can it be stolen? It says in the Torah, lo signoi, don't steal. And by him, the fact that it said in the Torah, lo signoi, it was an impossibility to steal. So that's what it says here, by us, the Jewish people, Etzel b'nei Yisrael ayam, Devar Hashem kechema. The word of Hashem is like a wall. It makes it impossible to go through that wall. Okay? So, goes on with this thought, that Avram Avinu, excuse me, we'll get to Avram Avinu in a second. Okay, he says this over and over again a few times. Okay, so that is exactly, that wall the Greeks wanted to tear down. In other words, the Greek, the exile with the Greeks was unique in that they didn't so much want to kill us as they did, they wanted us just to uproot our Yiddishkeit. You know, they liked some of the beauty of the Torah. It was during that time that the Torah was translated into Greek. Okay, and they liked, you know, the beautiful ethics of the Torah, you know, especially the mitzvahs of the fellow man, just a second. But what they couldn't stand especially is the chukim, you know, the inexplicable laws belong beyond rationale and logic. Remember, Greeks were big on philosophy and this type of stuff. So that they couldn't handle. So they didn't like this idea by us, we're this chosen nation business, you know, and this wall that if God says no, it's like a wall to us. No, you know, go with the times. Make the Torah blend into the present society. That was the Greek attitude. So they wanted to tear down this walls. That's why we said it in Matzur, Uparsu Chaimus Migdalai. They wanted to tear down our walls that our attitude is impossible if Hashem says no. Okay? So what happened? He said, you know, B'nai Yisrael, when we have the base of Migdash, we're like an angel. You know, angels, they have no idea of a concept of doing anything but the will of God. And that's the way we were. So the Yevonim, the Greeks, try to tear this down, and therefore we have a certain koyach, a certain ability that was inbred within us from our first father, Avram Avinu, and he put us in this ability to be like a wall, even though everybody else is doing one thing, you know, all the Greek culture, and I guess, I don't know, most of the Jews that became Hellenists, right, and they're all betting, you know, give in already, just bend with the times. No, there we have the ability within us from Avram Avinu to be like a wall and not move, and this comes, he says, from the test that Avram passed at Ur Kasdim, right? With the test of Ur Kasdim, everybody believed in idols. Nimrod, you know, the head king there, said, you know, believe in idols, Avram, or I'll throw you into the furnace. And Avram was like a wall, refused to move, wouldn't budge, and he was thrown into the furnace. So it says that's what it means when it says the Chashmonaim found this little pach, this little jar of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. So we're going to learn that the Kohen Gadol is a code name for Avraham, because after the battle here, the four kings versus the five kings, which we're coming up to, we see that Avraham meets a guy named Malki Tzedek. Right now, Malki Tzedek is Shem, the son of Noach, and he was the Kohen. And at that time, because he made a certain mistake, the kahuna goes over to Avram. Avram becomes the Kohen Gadol. He is the original Kohen Gadol, more in a spiritual, mystical sense. As far as halachically, we know that, you know, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu served as Kohen Gadol for the first 8 days. Okay. So, but again, this little jar of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol symbolically means that there's this little jar, this little pach of shemen in each one of us with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the seal of Avraham Avinu, that remains pure, that cannot be touched. That's the pure oil within every one of us, that it's impossible for any goyish influence to touch that. And that's what it means, he says, when Hashem tells Avram, I will be your shield, which is where we get our bracha in the Shemona Esrei, Magen Avraham. That's the shield Hashem protects, that little bit of Avram Avinu, right, in every one of us, that we don't get completely lost and assimilated. Okay? So that's the hint. Find that little pach of shemen, that little jar of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That is the little, what we call the pintel yid, right, that is be able to stay with us and to pass all the tests throughout all the history of all our exiles, to remain like a wall and not budge when it comes to to compromising our Yiddishkeit. Avraham Avinu has a very, you know, everybody who's a convert is a Ben Avraham.
Right.
So that Avraham Avinu, you know, he gave that. They say he gave the ability for converts to convert. He gave them that courage. It's that Avraham Avinu, if it wasn't for him, Av Haman Goyim, the father of all the nations. So Avraham Avinu gave that ability for he gave the strength in converts to make that decision. What you're saying also has a lot to do with this famous Chazal that says, "Pitchuli petach shel machad, va'ini eftachem petach shel ulam." You open me the open the size of a needle, and I'll make you the opening of a great hall. As Hashem says, you know, you're trying to come back, make a small opening. You know, take a step, and you'll see the results. I'll open it wide. That's something my mom always drilled when I was coming back to Yiddishkeit. So she kept repeating that over and over again because I was overwhelmed, you know, especially when I used to go to my brother-in-law's house and see all these books. Oh, forget it. What's the use? I'll never do. She kept drilling that into me. Just take one step and you'll see unbelievable repercussions from it. And that's what it is with every one of us. I guess we all have our stories. You know, how we just took that initial step. Kosh Baruch Hu, you know. He's the pilot. Okay, so let's go back in the text. Excuse me?
Hanukkah, they said the Hanukkah Lech is part of the lights of the Or HaGonos, the original light that the world's created. It was hidden away for the future. Yeah, right, for the righteous in the future. We get a little bit of it on Hanukkah. Svas Emes writes, it's very, very mystical stuff. All right, we are in the text, chapter 14, verse 15. And what we just had was the battle of the four kings defeating the five kings, capturing Lot. Avraham comes, battles these four kings, defeats them, right, and up to the point of Dan. Now, one of the many things we learn in here, we mention, is that this whole episode, if you will, this whole episode of... Gotta turn it on for a second. This whole episode of this Battle of the Four Kings is representing the four exiles we mentioned, right? And it has given us, again, a Masi Avosim Labonim, a microcosm of what's going to happen in the future.
And that is, there will be these four kingdoms, these four exiles that we will go through, right? And they will rule from one end of the world to another. This is Nachmanides, I'm quoting Ramban. They'll rule from one end of the world to the other. And at the end, we, the Jewish people, they will fall, we will be victorious over them. They will fall into our hands. And all the wealth and all the captives, our lost people during these exiles, we will get back. We'll get them all back. That's what happened here, right? These four kings, right, captured a bunch of people, took a lot of wealth from everybody. Avram got it all back. He got all the people back, and he got all the money back. So this is a microcosm of what's going to happen in the future. Four kingdoms will rule from one end of the world, and at the one end of the world to the other, and at the end, they will fall into the hands of Israel, and we will get back all the money that was taken from us and all our captives that were taken from us throughout all the history of our exiles. Okay. Okay, one more thought, and then we'll go into the actual text. And that is, we mentioned also that the person that informed Avram Avinu of this fact that Lot was captured was Og, right? And we mentioned that later in Bamidbar, if you look at, I think it's chapter 1, verse 34, Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, you know, don't fear him, because Moshe feared that he had this merit, that he helped Avram. He feared, even though Og didn't mean it for good intentions, he wanted Avram to get killed, so he would marry the beautiful Sarah, right? But still, he's rewarded with hundreds and hundreds of years of life. And Moshe Rabbeinu realized the power of spirituality, the power of a mitzvah, that Og had this one mitzvah that he helped the great, great tzaddik Avraham. And because of that, that might stand and act as a protexia for him. So Rav Yosef Zindel Salanter learns from here a tremendous kal v'chomer, a tremendous how much more so type of thing. He says, you know, Og, who didn't have, who definitely had ulterior motives, he didn't mean l'shem shemayim for sincere reasons, was rewarded so much for this one mitzvah, right? So how much more so will we be rewarded for our mitzvahs that we're doing only because of the will of God? Okay? He's paid off in this world because that's what he wants to be paid off. He doesn't, you know, care about spirituality. So that he learns out from here how much more we will be paid if he lived hundreds of years, how much a mitzvah is going to protect us. This guy came to Avraham Avinu hundreds of years ago and is still living off that mitzvah. So imagine the mitzvahs, first of all, that we do, how much we're going to live off of and our children and descendants. And the fact is, we continually are protected by the mitzvahs that Avraham does, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov do, right? And anybody else, you know, of our great, of our great past, right? Not to mention in the future world. So we get it both. Okay, so that's what he learns. Now let's go inside. Chapter 14, verse 15. Le'echalek aleim alayla. The night was divided to the. Now that's a lot of explanations. What does it mean that the night was divided? One commentary says it means that, like, they used great strategy, if you will. Obviously, it's all a miracle, but the strategy was they divided up at night, right? So a few people seemed like a lot. I think we have a repetition of something similar to this by Gideon. No, Gideon takes at night, he attacks and he divides his troop, and they take a bunch of clay pitchers and break them on the rocks. So it sounds like a huge army. Okay, so here at night, where obviously the four armies, the four kings, could not see the numbers at night, and they divided, so they thought maybe it was a huge army. All this is to emphasize, everything we're going to read is to emphasize, even though everything was a miracle, right, just like Noah building the ark for 120 years, we are still required to do everything feasible, right? Everything possible we're required to do, okay? Again, the ark was still a miracle after 120 years. It couldn't have held all those people and all those animals, excuse me. Okay. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that the miracle of this night was divided in half. And this is a Rashi And if you look at the Haggadah Shel Pesach, there's a at the end, it has a bunch of songs, V'hi b'chatzi halayla, and it was in the middle of the night, and it lists a bunch of things that happened to us on Pesach night. So this also was Pesach. Alright? And listen to this Rashi, and then I'll take questions. Rashi says, according to the simple meaning, it means that he divided his troops, the people he had, right? So, and then he says, another Medrash Agadah, he quotes the Medrash, that the night was divided. In the first half of the night, a great miracle was done from. And the second half, Nishmar Uvala Lachatzis Laila Shel Mitzrayim. The second half of the night, that miracle was saved for them at the midnight during coming out of Egypt. Right? That's when the final plague, the firstborn of Egypt, was killed, and that was the process of the Exodus. Okay, so again, Maase Avos Siman Habanim, again the microcosm, and this continual, like everything Avram does, becomes a paradigm for the future redemption of Egypt. Yes. Okay, so again, the night was divided up for him in these two interpretations. Ve'kolek alem alayla, hu va'avada va'yakem va'yirdefem ad cheva. Asher mismo l'damasik. Okay, and he changed them to this place called Damascus. Okay, verse 16. Vayashev es kol ha'rechush. Here he goes. He gets back all the wealth. We already talked about this. This will be right symbolic of all the wealth that was taken from us illegally, you know, stolen throughout all the ages in history. We'll get it back. Begam es Lot Achiv, and he got back Lot, calls him his brother, obviously a nephew, or a close relative you call brother. Begam es Lot Achiv, or Rechusho, and all his wealth, Hishiv. Begam es Anashim es Am. Okay, and also the women and all the nation. Okay, now here comes what we just talked about, Hanukkah, the Kohen Gadol bit. Verse 17. By Yetze Melech Sodom, I'm sorry. Not quite. Vayetze Melech Sodom Likraso. The king of Sodom came out to greet Avram Avinu and give him Yashikoyach for the war. Acharei Shuvu Ma'akos is Kadalomer Vesamalachim Asher Ito. After he finished beating Kadalomer, I guess he was the head of these four kings, right? El Emek Shave. Who Emek Hamelech? Okay, now this is significant. Emek Hamelech, it's called the Valley of the King. Why is it called the Valley of the King? Well, Rashi quotes the Medrash, right? Because there, all Kol Ha'umos gathered together, all the nations gathered together, Beimlichus Avram. They wanted to make Avram the king over them. Beimlichu Avram Aleim, Lenasi Elokim. Okay, so they wanted to make, they called Avram the Prince of God, and they wanted to make a king over him. And Avram refused this, and he says that the world does not lack its king. But it shows you the universal respect that Avram had in the eyes of all the nations. Now comes the Kohen Gadol bit. Verse 18, Umalki Tzedek, right? Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Okay? This guy named Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, right, Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin, he brings out bread and wine. This is going to be symbolic of the later korbanos, like the showbread, right, and the yayin, the libations on the altar. The Hu Kohen, he is the Kohen Lekel Kelyon, to God on high. Okay, now, by the way, we know from our tradition, and Rashi quotes it, he tells us, yeah, we know from our tradition that this man, Malki Tzedek, right, Rashi quotes it, the Medrash, Hu Shem ben Noach. This is Shem, the son of Noach, right? So actually it's related to Avram. This is great-great-great-great-grandfather, right? Oh, by the way, Baal Turim will tell you, Malki Tzedek, right? And then it says Melech Shalem, the king of Shalem. Well, Melech Shalem, the acronym of that is Shem, backwards, right? Melech Shalem, the Shin and the Mem, is Shem, hinted to, that he is, this is Shem ben Noach. Okay. Now, he makes a mistake. Now, by the way, Shem the Ever, Shem the Ever of a famous yeshiva that all the patriarchs went to. Right? Now, he was a very great man. He's the man that Shem the Ever, that's the yeshiva that Rivka went to find out what's going on inside of her when she had these two, battling twins. Okay? And this is the yeshiva that Yaakov Avinu went to for 14 years before he went down to Lavan. So he was a great man, but, and I emphasize that because he made a mistake here. Verse 19, Vayivarcheihu, and he blessed Avram. Now, Avram had just killed his son. Elam, I believe, was his son. Avram killed him, and so there was a little trepidation there, with whether he'd be upset. So he came out to greet him for one reason, to tell him that, like, there's no hard feelings. You know, I did not hold any grudge against you for killing my son. Okay, Vayivarcheihu, he blessed him, Vayomer, and he said, Baruch Avram Lekel, Kelyon, blesses Avram, the God on high, Kainesh Shemayim Va'aretz. Okay, and then he says, Ubaruch Kel, Kelyon, blesses God on high, Asher Migen Tzarecha, who defended you, Bayadecha V'tendo Meiser Mekol, he gave him Meiser, a tithe of everything. But the mistake that he made is, can anybody spot it? He could have said the same thing, but if he would have mentioned God's name first, in other words, reverse these, he does do what you said. He does say, God is the one that shielded you, right? But he should have reversed these verses. The first thing that should have come out is, blessed is God who protected you, shielded you, and then blessed are you, right? But he did it. He lost the kahuna because of this. This is it. So this is the reason why the Kohen is, you wore the Kohen, and now it's going to go over to Avraham, okay? And let's see if there's a Rashi on this. I thought there was a Rashi on this. Okay, but anyways, the Chazal tells us from a Gemara, I believe, that the Kohuna goes over to Avraham Avinu. And that is where Avraham is known as, from here on, as a Kohen Gadol, so to speak. And therefore, he gives that over to Yitzchak, and that was the battle that Yaakov saw, that Esav was not fit to be a Kohen Gadol, to serve Hashem, right? And the Medrash goes into detail there. Esav says, what's the matter of this service? And he says, well, if you don't do this right, this right, you have a death penalty. And Esav says, I'm going to die because of this. Who needs it? Right? And so that's what Yaakov wanted. Also, the kahuna. So this is the kahuna, and it goes Avram, this is the Kohen Gadol, relates back to our our vort on Chanukah. Now, these three words at the end of verse 19, Kohene Shemayim Va'aretz, one who acquires heaven and earth. Okay? So, this refers to Avram, as Malki Tzedek, Shem mentions this. What does it mean that Avram is like the, if you will, owner of the heaven and the earth? It means that Avram became a partner with Hashem in the Masa Bereishis, in the creation of the world. What does that mean? Because Avram Avinu, the whole purpose of this world is to display the glory of God, to make people realize that there is God. And that was Avram's whole life. He would entertain guests. And he would have them say a bracha, right? Bracha to Hashem, lekenu melech ha'olam, right? The whole world, right? And he made Hashem's name known. That's what it means. Kohene Shemayim Va'aretz. He made Hashem's name known, not only in Shemayim, but here on earth. He had people saying his name. So he became a partner through brachas. He became a part of God in creation. Now, again, can't emphasize this enough. This was the outreach of Avram Brachas, and we gotta really lock in on the importance of Brachas and give it more chashivas, give it more importance than we do instead of rattling them off. Okay, we'll stop here a second, take questions. We do learn from that. That whole episode where he's rebuked and he loses the kahuna for thanking, if you will, or blessing Avram first, we as Jews were supposed to have what's called hakar satov. If someone does us something good, we're supposed to thank them, And he and this guy Shem had a lot to thank Avram for, right? That's nothing wrong with that, but you have to have the priorities, and you have to realize they're just an agency from Hashem, as you said. So what we learn from here, and Avram rebukes Shem about this, that when we do get good tidings or something happens, the first thing we got to do is thank Hashem.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem. You know, Baruch Hashem, that's the first thing. We say Baruch Hashem. And then we can thank the person, you know, that was chosen to be the shliach, chosen to be the agency of Hashem. Okay? That he must be a very worthy individual if God chose him. Right? But we got to, you know, we can't get lost and I'm forgetting who's the source. You don't realize it. Even as Adiyah Baruch Hediyat Kal B'necha, words are like bullets. You know, words have a tremendous effect. You know, even when you don't mean them, you know, Yaakov says, whoever you find your idols with won't live. And because of that, Rachel Imenu passed away. And you can be sure that was the last thing on his mind. Right? And by the way, that's part of the secret why, you know, in these parshas that were coming up about Yosef, you know, why the big question is, Yosef loved his father so much, how can he let his father mourn for him? Why didn't he tell him he was alive? And what happened? So Yosef was very, very concerned that his father would curse the brothers for selling him. And if Yaakov, a curse that he didn't mean, caused Rachel's death, can you imagine what a curse that he did mean would cause? So, so the bracha, I don't know, I mean, it has an effect, but I mean, we don't see exactly a literal translation, I mean, a result of this bracha. We learn basically to show, recognize that Hashem has many agents, show allegiance to him. And the fact that Avram at the end, we're going to see that all the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all gave tithes. This is the place where we see that Avram gave a tithe, right? And God willing, we'll learn with Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that tradition has always been with us. And also, I think it's mentioned here with this tithe that we learn in particular because of the kahuna, you know, the tithes usually went to them. And that's the symbolism here with the bread and the wine and the tithing is all have to do with the kahuna. Okay. Yes. The connection here, by the way, it's no coincidence, the connection that Shem makes this mistake, blesses Avram first, doesn't realize the source of blessing, and then it says, Avram, Kenesh, Shemayim, Va'aretz, was can partner with God through brachas. Right? No coincidence. What is a bracha? A bracha is a blessing of acknowledgement that God is the source of everything. So that goes hand in hand. And by the way, the word bracha, it comes from the word berecha, which means like a spring, an overflowing spring, which is like the source. That's always like a source of blessing. Okay? As a matter of fact, you're going to see continuously this idea of water overflowing, a source of blessing, right? When Yaakov goes to Lavan, it starts to overflow, the well. And the reason Lavan knew Yaakov left, it stopped overflowing. When Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, right, the Nile River starts to overflow, right? And Rivka, you know, Yitzchak but Eliezer meets the Shidduch for Yitzchak at a well. Moshe meets his wife, Tzipporah, at a well. It's always a symbol of overflowing bracha. I guess my cup runs over type of thing. Okay. Let's go on. Verse 21. Vayomer Melech Sodom El Avram. King of Sodom said to Avram, Ten li anefesh baruchush kach lach. Give me back the soul. Give me back the people. Give back the people, and you take the wealth. Okay? And, of course, we know Avram refuses. Verse 22, V'yomer Avram melech sadaim ha-ramaisi yadi el adonoi el yon kunesh shamayim va'aretz. Okay? I raise my hand. In other words, this hand that you thought might have got the victory, koichim v'yotzim yadi, my power, my strength got me this. No, I raise it to Hashem. Recognizing he is the source, right? And here again is that word, you know, Kodesh Shemayim Varetz. He's the one that owns heaven and earth, and it's nothing to do with me. And because of this, we're going to merit a few mitzvahs, this next verse. Im chut va'ad saruch nail, if a thread or even like a strap of a sandal, v'im ekach mekol asher lach, if I take anything from you. V'lo tomar ani esharti es Avram, you will not say that you made Avram wealthy. Hashem, in other words, promised me wealth, and I don't want it from you, number one. Number two, taking wealth would be an acknowledgement that I deserved it, that this was my victory. So Avram Avinu did not want to take anything because he realized it was purely a miraculous victory and doesn't want to get any benefit from it. Now, because of this, Avram mentioned that I won't take a thread or a sandal, we get a few mitzvahs. One, the mitzvah of chalitza. It's a mitzvah if a brother dies, right, the other brother has no children, the other brother has a mitzvah, a levirate marriage, to marry his brother's wife. If he doesn't want to, they do this procedure called a chalitza, taking off a shoe, right, and releasing him from the obligation. So we got that mitzvah because of this. We also get, because Avram said, I won't take a thread, we get them threads, right? We get tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And I won't take a strap of a sandal. We have the straps of tefillin. Okay? So it's very appropriate, by the way, because we learned that which prayer service did Avram initiate? Shacharis, right? The morning prayer. So it's very appropriate that that is when we put on tefillin and tzitzis, you know, and wrap ourselves with talis during the prayer service that Avram Avinu initiated. And here, you know, in his merit of saying these words, we get the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin. Okay. Now, the question's raised, you know, here Avram doesn't take any wealth. Yet, we did see, right, that he took wealth from Paro. Right, that was the big question. So, what we said on that was, basically, Avram's a little different position here. You know, he's like the king. Everybody crowned him king of the world. He could do whatever he wants. There, Paro, you know, that would be a tremendous insult, number one. There's other reasons like that. Also, this spread, this became a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, taking all that wealth from Paro, because no one ever came out of Egypt, you know, without being taken advantage of. And here Avram's coming out with all this wealth and gold when they really had designs to take everything from him and take his wife. So that's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Okay? But one of the main reasons is strictly because of Exodus. Because there's a promise to Avram that your children will go out with the Rechush Gadol, that your children... During that prophecy that's told to Avram, your children will go out for Chush Gadol, will go out with great wealth. So again, Ma'asiyav Simla Bonim, for that to happen, Avram had to take wealth out of Egypt. He ends up giving away all that wealth. At the end of his life, he gives it all to the sons, to the children of the concubines. He wants nothing to do with it. Okay? But for the sake of his children, so they will set it up in the system, right? Again, you know, Masiyamas will set up in the system. He takes wealth only for the sake that his children, after the exodus of so many years, will come out of Egypt, will be able to take that wealth. Any questions? But Rene just mentioned he doesn't take anything, but he's going to say that, look, well, let's read it inside. Verse 24, Bil Adai. This is a very important word. We can give a whole class on this. Anytime a person gets anything done right in this world, right, or any wealth or fame or honor comes to him, these words have to be on his lips. This word, Bil Adai, it has nothing to do with me. Yosef repeats this word, right, in this week's Parsha. When Paul tells him, I hear that you can interpret dreams, 12 years languishing in jail, right? Grab the opportunity, you know, make yourself look good. Bil Adai, it has nothing to do with me, it's from God. Bil Adai. A statement of humility, recognizing the source of all blessings, honor, and wealth that you have, whatever else it is. Bil Adai, nothing to do with me. Okay? Rak asher aklu anorim, vechelek anoshim asher alchuiti, aner ve'eshko, mamre hem yikul chelkam. says, I don't want anything. But if you want to give something, the people, they should get their right share. The people that stayed with the baggage, for example, why honor Eshkol, they stayed and they watched the baggage, and the people that went with me, they should get their share. It's a tremendous lesson here. If you got a chumrah, if you can't be frum at someone else's expense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to take it? I mean, you're entitled to it because it spoils the board, right? You don't want to take it, fine, but you cannot put that on other people. Avram realizes this. This sets Amasi Avot in motion. David HaMelech repeats this. This became a standard procedure from this time, and David reinforced it that people who don't go to war, who stay behind and watch the baggage, so to speak, they also get a share of the spoils. But the big lesson here is, right, if you have astringency, that's wonderful, right? But don't put it on other people. They're entitled to the spoils. And that's what Avram realizes. A tremendous sense of balance here. So that's Renee's point. Very good. Okay, now, by the way, the other places that Meiser, the type is mentioned, I found the sources. Here we have with Avram, Yitzchak, chapter 26, verse 12, and Yaakov, chapter 28, verse 22. And that's our source that all our patriarchs, they gave Meiser. Okay. Okay, I should have mentioned that what we mentioned about Tefillin and Tzitzis in merit of Avram, that is from the Meshech Chochmah. That's who says that. As far as that, why we do it on Shacharis, why we wear it on Shacharis. Okay. We have a very false sense. Well, this Bilah die. We have a very false sense of what Anivus is, being modest. Being modest is not denying the brachas, the talents and skills that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given you. Being modest is recognizing that he is the source of them, right? And he could have given it to anybody. Yosef realizes he has this ability, but he realizes it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So that's a very fine line. Now, your answer to your question will be in Parshas Vayichi, where we see Yaakov gives each tribe their own unique blessing, because they have their own unique qualities. So if you don't mind saving it, you'll see we're going to give a lot of talk, you know, we're going to talk about that, how everybody has a certain quality, certain talent, skills to be used in conjunction with everybody else's and to recognize everybody else's and not to try to assert or covet or be jealous of anybody else's role in Israel. That's a very, very important thing.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.